There were once two people who used to do business together. They'd go off into the sea and they'd bring back goods that couldn't be found in Israel and then sell those goods and make a good profit. And once the two were speaking that at a certain hour in the morning they will set sail and they'll go on this ship that's going to the places they need to go to, and they'll go together. And this time they hoped they would make a very nice profit, and each one was planning what he would do with his profit when he comes back home in peace. Now, they agreed on a time, and the time came, and one of the partners, one of the friends, got on board, and the other one, he's not showing. So the captain waits an hour, a little bit longer, and then he says, "I can't wait anymore." And so the ship sets sail. Initially, the one man on board felt bad. His friend isn't there. And then he thought, well, maybe it's better this way. Why should I go with him specifically? I'm a better businessman than him. Now that I'm going alone, I'll make more and I'll have all the wealth to myself. Now, why is it that the other guy didn't come? He got ready early in the morning. And early in the morning, he said goodbye to his family. And he tried to take a shortcut on his way to the boat. And on his way, he ran through the fields. And over there, he stumbled on a big thorn. And the thorn went deep into his leg. And he was in such pain, he couldn't continue walking. And he's limping, and he comes back home. And he tries to take out this huge thorn. And after a long time, he managed to get this big thorn out of his leg. In Chazal's time, there were big thorns. That's why it says in Halacha and Shabbos, if you encounter a thorn in public domain on Shabbos, don't say it's mukzeh, because it's a danger to other people. Things that are a danger in an area where they could harm other people, even if they're mukzeh, we move them so that people don't get hurt. That's an important thing to remember when you have kids in the house. And certain things could be dangerous for them. Small objects could be dangerous for them. Even a button that falls off your shirt, a child could choke on it. So you have to remember this halacha. So it says a thorn is something that can be a danger. He finally gets a thorn out of his leg, and now he can't run anymore. So slowly he wobbles over to the port. And by the time he reaches the port, the ship had set sail. Now, he had to wait a week for another ship to go in that direction. And he figures, in a week's time, I'll be able to catch up to my friend. He was wrong. When the day or two passed, his foot developed an infection, and for weeks he was bedridden. Now he's thinking, I'm lying here in bed, I'm all sick, and my friend, he's making all the money. Now, he's thinking there, he's lying in bed, and he's cursing his luck. And he's thinking to himself, why did God do this to me? Why couldn't I make an honest buck? Why do I have to be stuck in bed when all I wanted to do is make some money for my family? He finally got better, and he could leave his home. So the first place he goes is to the port to find out if his friend made it back and where things are holding. So as he approaches the port, he sees sailors standing and talking, and there's a whole hullabaloo going on there. And he sees one of the sailors, and the sailor looks at him and says, "Aren't you the one who wanted to go with your friend a few weeks ago out to sea?" So he says, "Yeah." So he says, "You know you had a miracle you didn't go on that ship? We just heard that there was a terrible storm at sea. The whole ship sank and no one's left alive from that ship." So the man stood there stunned and he said, "Wait a second, if not for that thorn, I'd be at the bottom of the sea with my friend." Now he was embarrassed. There he was for the last few weeks lying in bed pleading with God, "Why'd you do this to me? How could you do this to me?" Now he realizes, "Wait a second, I could be where he is." And at that moment, he turned back home and started thanking Hashem He said, Hashem, I know I'm not perfect, and I know I deserve all kinds of things, and I appreciate that you gave me something small, like a thorn in the foot, and not something big, like dumping me at the bottom of the sea. And I know, Hashem, you could save a person in a pleasant way or a less pleasant way, and I know I deserve worse than I got. So thank you for saving me from the more horrible tragedy that happened to my friend. With that humbling thought, he went home. And we discussed last night, Wednesday night in our Parsha class, that often in life we see things and we estimate them to be a tragedy. We don't know. We discussed the story of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, where he lost a position in Europe and he had to leave his whole family and go to Canada to be a rabbi there. And he was destroyed, him and his family. And finally he was able to bring over his family to Canada and the whole community where he was supposed to be rabbi in his mind. The whole community together with their rabbi, they all were killed by the Germans. So initially he was destroyed. And in life, we have to recognize that we don't know the whole story. There was once a story about a group of people who were being persecuted by the king. And whatever they did, the king kept saying, you guys are liars, you guys are cheaters. And they kept thinking, what's going on, what could be? And then, whatever they did, they tried to rectify things, and they could never rectify their relationship with the king, to the point where the king says, I'm going to sell all of you as slaves. And they say, okay, fine, we deserve it. And he says, okay, I'll sell one of you as slaves. And then a second later, he says, Ani Yosef. With two words, he says, I'm Yosef. And suddenly the whole picture changes. Now suddenly they understand the picture differently. In two words. Two words, and the picture changes. And in life, we have to know we're like puppets in a play. We don't understand who's pulling the strings. We have to do our hishtadlus, we have to try, we have to do our best. But at the end of the day, like this guy saw, we don't know what's to our benefit and what hurts us. Look, when the state of Israel had the terrible financial crisis of the 80s, so they thought all the banking system would collapse and everything, they raised the interest rates and things here were very tough for a few years. But today, where the whole world doesn't see how they're going to get out of the financial mess they're in, we're not in that financial mess to a great extent because of our troubles in the 80s. So they set up new banking laws, and now today we're in a situation where our banks are solid. Our banks are, we were at a point where the whole world is, look, Britain, Greece, Spain, Portugal. You're talking about areas of 10% of their GDP is on paying interest and debt. At the same time that they're at 10%, we're at zero. There almost isn't a country in the world that's at the same place where the state of Israel is. But to an extent, it's thanks to where the troubles we had in the 80s. Did we appreciate it then? No. When a person's contending with hardship, all he sees is the hardship. But he has to know that we don't know. We don't know where things are going. And at any moment, we could suddenly see, wait, that wasn't so bad. I can tell you a story. I was once dating a girl, and I realized it wasn't it. So it was Thursday, and I called one of my teachers. I said, what should I do? Should I tell her today? It'll ruin her Shabbos. If I wait till Sunday, maybe today they're going to offer her shidduch. Why should I keep her thinking that this is on? So he said, no, even if it'll ruin her Shabbos, you're right. Maybe tomorrow they'll set her up with her husband. You don't know. You have to go and tell her now. You have to set up a date and explain to her that even though you guys have developed this relationship, it's not it. Okay. So I did that. And she was fuming at me. And she said, how could you lose me just before Shabbos? Mm-hmm. So I said, I'll tell you. I thought about it. I called, asked the question, and I think that could be your chassan is just waiting for you. And how do I keep you? Why should I hold you up? So she left me in complete anger. But she was married a month and a half later. Engaged. So you never know, Mike. You never know.
Did you thank you afterwards?
No, I never got a phone call.